This show proudly sponsored by Real American Freestyle Wrestling.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ford was built on the belief that the world doesn't get to decide what you're capable of. You do. So ask yourself, can you or can't you? Can you load up a Ford F-150 and build your dream with sweat and steel? Can you chase thrills and conquer curves in a Mustang? Can you take a Bronco to where the map ends and adventure begins? Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Ready, set, Ford.
Hi, everyone. Brian Kilmeade here. Welcome to the latest moments of my show. We come to you from 48th and 6th in Midtown Manhattan. We're about 8 blocks away from the United Nations. And as you know, over 150 world leaders have been here all week. An impactful Prime Minister Netanyahu gave a very moving speech, but every Arab nation seems to have left just as he got behind the podium. And I'm not sure. I thought the UN was the ability to debate and listen to each other. That was the main reason for the charter. If you leave, it seems to me you're not hearing anybody. But now we have the President of the United States just tell us before we got on Marine One heading to the Ryder Cup, where I think he is right now, we could have a deal in Gaza. So we have that. But before we get to my two great guests, Congressman Jason Smith, who's a chairman of Ways and Means, and Jason Chaffetz, Fox News contributor and former outstanding congressman, let's get to the big three.
Number three.
I think what we see in front of us, the challenges are finish Hamas in Gaza, keep their foot on Hezbollah. They've conducted over 1,000 attacks. They will not let them build capabilities in southern Lebanon again. That's never going to happen.
Israel's prime minister takes center stage. Why it's more important than ever we help the IDF finish off Hamas despite the allied defection.
Number two.
Radical left rhetoric. The radical left is causing the problem. They're out of control. They're saying things, and they're really dumb people.
Got to stop the political attacks on ICE, and certain Democrats are the ones inflaming the rhetoric as more deadly encounters take place, not with illegal immigrants, that's tough enough, but with organized protesters, and now the administration is taking aim in the money behind it.
Number one.
I woke up in the middle of the night on Monday night, because it didn't dawn on me originally, that there might be corroboration for our conversation. There might be a tape. And my judgment was I needed to get that out into the public square. And so I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter.
That is James Comey, the former FBI director, indicted by a grand jury on two separate charges. It's about one page. Why I think even if he doesn't get convicted, it's a win for justice. Welcome, guys. All right. First off, on the Comey situation, the indictment came down last night. Chairman Smith, what do you think? I mean, a lot of people say the president is going after his enemies. Is that how you view it?
Not at all. I look at it from lying to Congress. It's illegal. There's been other people that's been charged with lying to Congress. Roger Stone was the last one. And so this shows that no one's above the law. If you recall, back during the Biden administration, whenever we were doing the impeachment inquiry and met with Hunter Biden and the other Biden relatives, the lies that was said there, they ultimately got pardoned for. And so we've seen this time and time again. And whether you're the former FBI director or not, it shouldn't matter. You should be held accountable just like everyone else. Lying to Congress is a very big thing.
You're former chairman of oversight. You said at one point, if I knew then what I know now, you would have went after Comey. What did you not know when you were in Congress that you later were to find out?
Well, the degree in which the director was misleading and lying to Congress, I think it goes far beyond that. I think one of the things that still needs to come out of this is the FISA warrants. And I'm mystified as to why the courts have not come back. When you sign a FISA warrant, you're testifying before the court, and it says at the very top of it, as John Ratcliffe, then Congressman John Ratcliffe, now the CIA director, he said, if you look at the blank form, it says verified. So it's a one way. There's no advocate on the other side. They just, you go to the court and say, I verify this is true. Well, it was false. And it was the predicate in which they did all these other police powers. That is something we didn't understand in real time.
So, yeah, what I also wonder about is he wanted, not only did he come and testify, but he did a book tour, at which time he was getting questions about this and new revelations are coming out about it. I mean, listen to Ted Cruz question him on May 3rd, cut six.
On May 3rd, 2017, in this committee, Chairman Grassley asked you point blank, quote, have you ever been an anonymous source in news reports about matters relating to the Trump investigation or the Clinton investigation? You responded under oath, quote, never. He then asked you, quote, have you ever authorized someone else at the FBI to be an anonymous source in news reports about the Trump investigation or the Clinton administration? You responded again under oath, no. Now, as you know, Mr. McCabe, who works for you, has publicly and repeatedly stated that he leaked information to the Wall Street Journal and that you were directly aware of it and that you directly authorized it. What Mr. McCabe is saying and what you testified to this committee cannot both be true. One or the other is false. Who's telling the truth?
I can only speak to my testimony. I stand by what the testimony you summarized that I gave in May of 2017.
So your testimony is you've never authorized anyone to leak. And Mr. McCabe, if he says contrary, is not telling the truth. Is that correct?
Again, I'm not going to characterize Andy's testimony, but mine is the same today.
Is that maddening to you, Jason?
It's so frustrating because it's crystal clear. If you lie to Congress, you're breaking the law.
And why were you lying? You're lying to undermine and make the collusion illusion real to the American people, the voter, to ultimately get this guy impeached, President Trump, before he's done.
Just be honest. That's the whole purpose of why you're called into Congress, is so for members of Congress can get to the bottom of things. And there's numerous examples that have been highlighted that Comey was asked various questions and people believe that they can be proved to be false.
So, and we'll see if it'll...
Well, and let me just add here. People would testify before Congress on a regular basis. Sometimes they have to, they come back a few days later and they correct their testimony and say, you know what, I misspoke. Or, hey, he never did that in this case. He was asked a very direct and great question by Senator Ted Cruz, and it was given every opportunity, and he never came back and corrected the record. That is his testimony, and the allegation is that that is a lie. And I think Ted Cruz did a very admirable job of laying that out.
And we can go back and forth and we'll see where this goes. He's got a lawyer up. This is why I say that it's out of the court. We don't know who the jury is going to be, but we know that he's a slippery guy. But I love the fact that he's got a lawyer up. He's going to have to get ready. His life is going to be put on hold because he, Brennan, Obama, Biden to a degree, Clapper. Lisa Monaco, Clapper, all these people hurt the country for 3 years. And they have this, it was amazing that Trump, even without the pandemic, was still going to win re-election, despite this. And remember the eruptions and the distraction. Every time he did something positive, there'd be a revelation that would pop up on CNN, Congressman. I know you were just getting into Congress at the time, Jason.
That's exactly right. But you just look at the whole process. What President Trump went through, 70-plus indictments on felonies.
Yeah.
Like that is just absolutely crazy. And the American people saw right through it. He didn't lie before Congress. Trump never lied before Congress, and he got charged on 70 different unrelated matters. Comey lied to Congress.
Right. And I don't know if you've met Trump, but he doesn't forget. And he at one point is going to turn around when he sat there in those courtrooms, and he sat there and goes, well, you'll have your day. And he's doing it. I don't want him to do it on the country's time, but just go ahead, get justice, and see where it goes. I want to talk about what's happened with the economy. Nobody's talking about this. Our GDP grew at 3.6%. Now, that is an astounding number. I know why it's not getting such heat, because we have such a blizzard of news. But what does that mean? You're the Ways and Means Chair. What does that mean for our economy?
It has a huge impact. It has a huge impact to the revenues and the deficit spending. When we passed the One Big Beautiful Bill, creating the permanency in the tax code, the Congressional Budget Office, the official scorekeepers of Congress, projected that GDP would be at 1.8%. What was revised just in the last few days was 3.8%. That's 2 percentage points higher. That's roughly $600 billion of additional revenue a year. Not many people's talking about what happened in the month of June. The month of June this year, we had a $26 billion surplus in government. That's the first time that we had more revenues coming in than what we were spending in any month since June of 2016.
That's the tariffs.
It was because of the income coming in from the tax receipts and the tariffs. Those were the two items that contributed to it.
But yet we're looking at a shutdown in a few days. I don't see anything to stop it. Chuck Schumer got vilified for it, saying I had no option last time for continuing. So he and Hakeem Jeffries are putting up a tough front. You've been through this, Jason Chaffetz, as a congressman and chairman. Is that where we're heading now?
Well, it's up to the Democrats. This is the same spending level that they voted in favor of under Biden.
Yeah.
So what's their case? That they need more money for public radio? I mean, you're going to shut down the government over issues like that? They have no case. If they have one, go to the American people, do it. And they wouldn't meet for
Trump. Well, they want to undo a lot of the big, beautiful bill, right? Yeah, they want to undo it. What?
But it's the same spending level that they voted for under President Biden. It's that simple.
What are the ripple effects of this? Who gets paid? Who doesn't get paid? Who does get paid?
So whenever a government shuts down, you're looking at a quarter of government that's not funded because that's the discretionary amount of spending. And then the administration can decide. There's a lot of flexibility. Yeah. And the worst thing for me to think that the Democrats would want to trust someone who they hate, which is President Trump, to decide what the spending priorities are for that quarter. Russ Volt with OMB will be making those decisions along with the president. What they're asking for is completely unrealistic. The Democrats voted for this clean continuation of funding 6 months ago. Chuck Schumer voted for this 6 months ago, but he's refusing to today unless we add $1.4 trillion in more spending. We provide health insurance for illegals. We eliminate $50 billion for rural hospitals, and let's continue an expanded COVID subsidy. This is what they're asking for. This is not what 77 million Americans voted for.
Right. And do you think the president was right not to meet with the leadership, Democratic leadership, Jason?
Yeah, he's not going there. It's just, yeah, I think that's right. Hey, wait till a couple days before. This is all on Chuck Schumer. It's totally up to the House. Did its job. They passed this. That it's up to the Senate. It's up to Chuck Schumer.
All right. When we come back, a few more minutes with these two gentlemen, Jason Smith and Jason Chaffetz. We're going to be talking about what Netanyahu just said and what the president just proclaimed. What's happening in Gaza, as well as the president's, I think, change of heart looking at the reality with Ukraine and Russia. Don't move.
You're with Brian Kilmeade. From his mouth to your ears, it's Brian Kilmeade.
It's looking like we have a deal on Gaza. And we'll let you know.
Mr. President.
I think it's a deal that will get the hostages back. It's going to be a deal that will end the war. It's going to be a deal with, it's going to be peace. I think we have a deal. That'll be number 8, Peter, not 10.
And he said that to Peter Ducey. Jason Chaffetz is here, Congressman Jason Smith, Chairman of Ways and Means. So, Chairman, not surprising, the president decides to tell the press that en route to Marine One, en route to the Ryder Cup. What do you think?
You know, the president is the most transparent president ever. We've ever had.
We're going to demand this from now on.
It is a great thing to have that he just shoots out what he's thinking. He puts that on social media. He also does it to the world. And he's a deal maker. He has done 7 deals so far. He says this is number 8. And we welcome that.
Yeah, he wears it on his shirt sleeve, and I think he will get a deal.
Well, the deal has to be all that. These are the parameters. All the hostages got to come out. Hamas has got to be out, right? And right away. And then aid comes streaming in. And third is, it's all about Israel's security. If Israel listened to the world, Hezbollah wouldn't have been touched. Yeah. Syria would still be in place. The Houthis would never have been touched. And Iran would still be en route or have a nuclear weapon right now. They put up with the blizzard of criticism, then they do it. And right now, you walk through the Israeli protesters outside the UN, right? How big was that crowd?
Without a doubt. I walked down 6th Avenue, and seeing those protesters, I can tell you it's a well-funded, well-organized.
Why do you think that?
Without a doubt, it's based on research that we've done with tax-exempt entities that are funding these programs and these protests. We have, in fact, sent to Treasury a dozen different non-for-profits that have been funding terrorism, Hamas and terrorism. They should lose their tax-exempt status. Taxpayers should not be subsidizing those activities. You could tell with those nice signs, with how organized they are, it didn't just happen.
They're getting paid.
Yeah.
You don't show you're in your 20s, you show up and you're holding up some oak tag. But that's what Stephen Miller brought up yesterday and the president signed. He's going to start unwinding the George Soros' groups out there.
Well, they need unwinding him also means prosecuting him because you not only look, you can protest, you know, can you pay somebody to put a sign up and down? But the problem is when they turn violent. And that's when you get into Antifa and some of these other organizations. I'm glad to see the president designate them as terrorist organizations, but you've got to go take down those networks. And it is a much bigger, broader problem. And I think if the funding was exposed, but then they've also got to prosecute some people.
And
the line is violence. If you want to have somebody paid protesters say, oh, I don't like Netanyahu. Hey, okay, you can do that. But can you advocate violence? You know, and everything from what was happening on the school campuses right. to Antifa to look at what's going on in Portland right now. I mean, it's still going on in mass.
And Chairman, I just want to get back to what you've been talking about. And in terms of dollars and cents, we have a situation where the president has got tariffs out there now on pharmaceuticals and heavy machinery that came out yesterday. Have you guys been consulted on this in terms of all the tariffs that just went out? He's trying to bring manufacturing back, and this is kind of his heavy-handed way of doing it.
This is something that the president started an investigation back about 6 months ago under 232 of looking at the pharmaceutical industry, for one, and bringing those supply chains back to the United States. It is very alarming to know that our country is not secure when it comes to pharmaceuticals and medical supplies.
But nothing's happened. We know that since the pandemic ended, we didn't do anything about it.
And this is what the president's working towards to do it. And that's why he's setting these tariffs on to help drive that manufacturing. Pharmaceuticals should be manufactured in the United States. There's no reason why it can't. It's such a high-tech process in the way that you move that forward. And this is a step of it, but this is part of the president's 232 and not IEPA.
What does that mean?
232 has been litigated in the prior administration, and the courts have found that he has the authority to. What you have being litigated right now at the Supreme Court is under IEPA. He did some of the tariffs.
All right, and finally, 30% approval rating for the Democratic Party, 38% for the Republican Party. We know tradition has it. The House flips, Jason Chaffetz. Do you feel as though it's very much in play and there's a Senate in play in your mind?
I mean, look.
Not partisanship, just your analysis. Yeah, normally,
it just flips in mass, but I don't see that happening at all because you got people like Zohran Mamdani and AOC and others as the leaders of the Democratic Party. And what issue are they going to run on? Safety, security, the economy, everything Donald Trump's doing, what Jason Smith and the House have been doing, it's been going in the right direction. America knows that.
We got to get these trans athletes into women's locker rooms. That's their goal. Yes. I think they're going to run on that. Chairman Chaffetz and Smith.
It's the Will Cain Show. Watch it live at noon Eastern, Monday through Thursday on FoxNews.com or on the Fox News YouTube channel. And don't miss a show. Get the podcast 5 days a week at FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.